This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God of fire and light, Lord Jesus, who opens doors and welcomes all, flavor our lives with your compassion, with your peace. Season us with the essence and aroma of your love. Preserve us with the courage to live your truth in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Sometime after 9/11, a group of leaders from a multitude of religions and faith traditions gathered in a baseball stadium in New York to pray together. And there was one bishop there whose congregation didn't like it one bit. And they took it upon themselves to get a petition to have him deposed, which means kicked out of his church, because they said if he was there praying with all these other people, that certainly he was saying that their prayers were valid, and they didn't like that. Can you imagine Jesus saying something like that? It was just crazy. The disciples were of the same mindset in this little story that we have today, right? They were all about looking at this man who was casting out demons in the name of God, and more about that in a minute. But they didn't like it because he wasn't following them. They were all about marking their turf, setting up their territory and their boundaries and putting up walls. And what Jesus was all about was making bridges and opening wide the doors, bringing everyone in. So he says, don't condemn him. What are you doing? What are you doing? He's helping people in the name of God. And what they were doing were judging and comparing in the name of their ego, right? And you know what ego is, right? E-G-O, edging God out. That's what happens. When we edge God out, we're about our own stuff and our own competition and our own ego in comparing ourselves with one another, thinking that somebody else is going to get something that we aren't doing. That we aren't getting, that we're not achieving. And this man in casting out demons now could mean a multitude of things. It could mean that there were actually evil spirits that he was casting out, or that these people had a malevolent way about them. Could also mean, in this day and time, if you think about it, the demons that we struggle with today and that hopefully we name and call out are racism, prejudice against religions like Islam that's going on right now, or any religion, looking down on other people, elitism, thinking we're better than others. And wouldn't it be great if somebody could come along and cast those demons out of us? It would. Well, there is someone that can do that. If we can tune up our self-awareness, our emotional intelligence enough to pay attention that when we fall into that, as we all do, then all we need to do is just turn back to the one who turns us around. We come back to center and are always, always forgiven. There's always another chance. When we prejudge other people, and frequently just by the way they look, you know what it's like if you're in a store or you're standing with somebody or you see somebody walk in the street, we all do that in some way or another, much as we don't want to admit it. So in order to establish this point a little bit more, I have a few slides that I'd like you to look at. So you look at this guy and you think, okay, he looks like maybe he's at work, he's got a pen, he's maybe at the top of his game. This is what he's thinking. I thought I had it all together. I did so well in school, landed a great job, but now what? I just feel empty. And how about this one? She says, I was so happy about my new job, and then somebody said, you must be the new affirmative action hire. I wanted to kill him. And this one, I just got my dog, Ralph, and he's helping me feel safe. Last year I was raped. I still cannot talk about it. She says, I just got to perform in a rollerblade dance competition. It's such a good feeling to just move, to be alive. It is the only thing that I can do so I don't think about cocaine. I was abusing my spouse. I know that now, but I can't take it back. I wish. And even that makes me angry. People say to me, you are a good person, but that's full of bleep. I'm laughing on the outside. You know, all my life I've been a happy guy, but I tell you, I don't know how to handle this anymore. My son just got arrested for the fourth time. I tell you, I just don't know. And then you have people like this. I don't care to talk about my problems. There's too much negativity in the world, so while I have breath in my body, I'm going to keep cheering people up. And then you have Nadia. If you already know who she is, hold it to yourself. But if you don't, I want you to imagine what she does for a living. Just tell the person next to you what you think she does for a living. And if you know, don't give it away. All right, next slide. She is a Lutheran pastor. She has two kids and is married to a Lutheran pastor. And her story is all about today's point. It's all about today's point. She was a stand-up comic. She was addicted to alcohol, finally got into recovery. And she was still hanging out with all of her friends that were now in recovery, most of them. She hung out with bikers, stand-up comics. And when one person in their group died, they looked to her because she said she was quite a religious person. They looked to her and said, well, you can do the funeral, right? So she kind of panicked and she said, okay. And so she did this person's funeral in a comedy club, packed. And she said she was looking out at the crowd and they all looked like her. And it dawned on her, they don't have a pastor. They don't have somebody that sees who they really are. And so she proceeded to go to seminary. She became a pastor in the Lutheran Church. And in 2008, she started a church called A Church for All Sinners and Saints. The daughter of a good friend of mine sent me the link. She was on NPR last week, and I listened to it. And then I ordered her latest book, and she's amazing. She's reaching those people who sometimes are not reached, but get this. Because Jesus turned the table on them a little bit. She tells a story of one young man who was on their vestry, or whatever you call it in Lutheran churches, the council that runs the finances and the physical plant and things of a church. And he was transgendered. He's on this council, and they had an agenda item because they started to attract people that looked like me, people that looked like their grandparents, people that looked really straight, normal, everyday people, normal in the sense of who knows who. And they said, well, what do we do with them? And the transgendered guy raised his hand and he said, I like it because they look like my parents and my grandparents and they accept me for who I am. End of discussion. Her latest book is called Accidental Saints, Finding God in All the Wrong People. I'm a big fan. She has what Jesus would call salt. And that was his solution to this problem that the disciples were bringing to him by judging every person, by judging that man who was doing the work of God. And Jesus responded in a way that was really graphic. That would have been normal in Middle Eastern days, but not so normal to our ears. Using metaphor of something that if you're doing something with your hands that you shouldn't be doing, or your eyes, or your feet, just cut them off. He's not taking that literally. He He's trying to get our attention and the disciples' attention in this dynamic way of being. And it's not easy. The salt now, in those days, it was a very precious commodity. They used it for trading. They would give it to people for friendship. Some of the Roman soldiers were actually paid in salt, and that's one of the bases for the origin of the word salary. It starts with S-A-L, which means salt in Latin. It's where we get the term, he's worth his salt. And Jesus is saying exactly that. Salt preserves. Salt protects. The interesting thing about salt is that it doesn't do its thing unless it's blended with something else in just the right way. And then it enhances the flavor. It enhances the surroundings. Jesus is saying, be salt. Have peace with one another. Have peace with one another. There's a story that is told that Jesus was visiting St. Peter at the pearly gates. And he goes up to the pearly gates, and St. Peter is there, and he's, you know, got his checks and balances, and he's checking people in and throwing some people out, and he's doing his job. And Jesus comes up and says, how's it going, Peter? And Peter said, well, it's going okay, but I've got a problem. And Jesus said, well, what's the problem? And he said, well, see, I'm doing my job, and I'm telling people that they can't come in, and I'm telling people that they can, but then when I take a break and I go inside and I look around, I see the people that I told couldn't come in, and they're in there. I don't get it. And Jesus says, oh, that's just my mom. She lets everybody in the back door. Amen.